Pew Bible, 807 of the Pew Bible, Matthew 1, beginning to read in verse 18. Matthew 1, 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall name him, call his name Jesus, which is our way, Yeshua, Savior. So the very name of Jesus, Savior. You will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Jesus, Savior, and Emmanuel, God with us. And if you just turn briefly to Luke 9, Gospel according to Luke chapter 9, which you may find on page 867, 867 in the Pew Bible. Luke 9, 23, start reading in verse 23, I'm sorry. Luke 9, 23. And he, Jesus said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, herself. Let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. Take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life, her life, whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. That is the reading of God's word for the morning. May God grant to us his understanding and his empowerment to know and live the Word. We are beginning what is, quite frankly, one of my favorite weeks of the year. It's one of my favorite weeks of the year where pretty much everything is kind of buttoned up and put, you know, the year is about done and we've put a lot of work into Christmas. And the new year is coming, and there are still, you know, maybe some days off to take, or there's a general kind of relaxed atmosphere, family, friends still around. Kind of preparing for the new year, kind of getting things in order for the new year. And it's an opportunity to both reflect, relax and reflect. And so that's a neat thing. And then the sermon comes up, and here are kind of the choices. The choices are, you know, nice, warm, fuzzy Christmas sermon. All right, now, you know, it's a day for kind of some fuzz and some warmth and some glow. Or there's the observation that one of two things has happened. If you're here right now, Sirius is our other choice, by the way. Sirius is our other choice. Most of you who have been here before probably know where this is going. Sirius is our other choice. And here's my observation. We're going with a little Sirius. If you're here right now, one of two things has happened. Either you are Sirius. It's Christmas Day and you're here on church. And Christmas morning, you're here on church. Either you're Sirius or someone who is Sirius has dragged you here against your will. You know, one of those two things has happened. All right, and so let us whisper together about some Sirius. And here it is. Christmas presents a great challenge to how we in our flesh and we in our culture tend to think about God. It presents a great challenge because even if we're not all into God, and this is a what I want to talk about is these are observations and reflections for a person, no matter how deep their Christian faith may be. Hopefully, these will be observations and reflections that might help you, and also give us some ideas for how to share with our friends and loved ones that are seeking, that are questioning, that are interested but not committed. Those kinds of things. There is in us a desire for something supernatural to be real. One of the ways this shows up, here's a phrase that I've heard a lot, that I've studied some, that I've even considered in my own self at times, and I'm spiritual but not religious. Spiritual but not religious, and that's very real. And Christmas is a challenge to that, and here's I would suggest why. I'm spiritual but not religious is I there's some divine out there, or I want there to be some divine out there, and I would like to connect with it. I would like to think that there's more than just me, or more than just us, that there's something like eternity, that there's something like purpose. I would like that to be true. And the great good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ is that is true. That is true. But sometimes I think when we say, I'm spiritual, not religious, what we mean is I want this supernatural whatever not to make any demands upon me or put restrictions on me. I want to feel it and I want to know it and I want to hope in it, but I don't want to be demanded of or restricted. Or maybe take it, you know, the next level up is, I like to think of God like this. Now, this was immortalized, as some of you may know, in the great Grace Before Supper scene in Talladega Nights, right? Where Ricky Bobby and his family, I like to think of Jesus like this, and I like to think of Jesus, I like to think of baby Jesus like this, I like to think of baby Jesus like this. Right? I like to think of Jesus like this. Or we could even take it, I believe in the real Jesus, and here's what the real Jesus does. The real Jesus protects me and mine. And the real Jesus agrees with me. That's what the real, I study the Bible and the real Jesus agrees with me. And Christmas is an affront to all of that. Christmas is a challenge to all of that. Because here's what Christmas is. God has come down in a real and tangible and specific way and has specific teachings and has a specific mission. You shall call him Jesus because he'll save his people from their sins. Well, I like to think that God isn't judging. He will just reward the good people. I don't like all this doctrine. I think God will just reward the good people. That is a doctrine. That's called justification by works. And how are we going to define good? And who gets to define good? I like to think of God this way. Here is something we hate. Here is something we hate. We hate it when people say to us, you will be who I want you to be. And you will do for me what I want you to do. And you will conform to my box for you. And you will conform to my need for you. We hate it when people belittle us and objectify us and do us like that. We hate it. Well, you know, I like God to be like this. I like thinking of God. We do it to God. And here's what Christmas is an affront to. Christmas is, you can do whatever you want. But God has come and shown up and said, this is who I am and this is what I'm about. Now, there are very legitimate disagreements about what Jesus, you know, what he meant when he said this and what he was about. And does that mean that all the Christians agree on all the details? We can't even get one row to agree on all the details. But there is a basic mission and there's a basic understanding of commitment to the Father. And there's a basic understanding of a need for salvation. And there's plenty more to discuss that is fairly clear than to dispute. Christmas is about God coming down and saying, this is who I am, this is what I'm about. Everyone's welcome to come on board.
It's the most open club in the world. You don't even have to be good. You don't even have to have somebody sign your application for you. Anybody who wants to come can come. But here's what it's about. Here's what you sign up for. Maybe my brother's going to be here, so I want to compliment my brother. He's my brother. My brother and his friends, when I was growing up, he was three years older than I am, and his friends were phenomenal. He and his friends were phenomenal when they were 12 and I was 9, when they were 15 and I was 12, when they were 18 and I was 15, for letting me go along. Unbelievable. And I appreciated it. And I would let them do whatever they wanted. Just beat me on the head, you know, take my lunch money, you know, all right, you can protect me. You know, I would do whatever you want. Just let me come along. That's not who Jesus is. Jesus is not, oh, I'm just so happy to be along. Thanks for letting me come along. He's the consuming fire. He is God with us. And God with us is neither content to be, nor should he be asked to be. Just come along and I'll fit you in when I can. Christmas is an affront to all. Christmas is a challenge to that. We hate it when people say, this is who I'll let you be. And one of the challenges and invitations of Christmas is, okay, God has come in a real and particular way. And he says, I'm Emmanuel, I'm your Savior. Come join in. But don't you dare try to tell me who you'll let me be. So this week, I would suggest the following thing that I'm going to try to do. There are all kinds of things we can do, but here's just one. This week, let us take that desire for eternity, and let us take that desire that our lives matter, that our lives echo into eternity. Let us take that desire that love can be real now and it can last. That it doesn't die when we die. That our meaning in life doesn't die when we die. Let us take that desire for purpose. And let us consider this Christ. And let us consider, when his followers are at their best, what they look like and what they are called to be. And let us say, if he really is so great, if he really is such a big deal, how can I challenge myself to find out what he really says and what he really does and what he really means? And am I going to accept that he wants to challenge and change me and turn you into what you were made to be, and what you long to be. It's what he says his plan is. It's what his program is. And stay with it. The reason why we read Luke 9 is not merely that we take up our cross, we deny ourselves. We say, if this really is God, right? Not a huge fan of the church sign, but every now and then there's a solid church sign, right? And one of the ones that I think is solid is what, you know, that classic bumper sticker, God is my co-pilot. And the church sign that says, if God is your co-pilot, you need to switch seats. Okay? You know, if he's really God. Okay? How do I give him the place he deserves? And how am I going to try to carve away, here's what I think God should be, and here's who I want God to be, and worship and have a relationship with the God that is. So we study and pray. And you'll be happy to know that the preacher thinks that you, when you go home, if you study and pray by yourself, that's a good thing. You'll be happy to know that the preacher thinks that's a good thing. But here's my challenge. Let us study and pray with other Christians. And let us study and pray with Christians who are not like us.
Christians who are made from different denominations, Christians who are more liberal than we are, Christians who are more conservative than we are, Christians from different backgrounds than we are, Christians who are different genders than we are, Christians who have different financial situations than we do, different races than we are. As I've reflected on 2016, I have found conversations that I've had and work I've done with different, you know, folks from different denominations and different backgrounds, and how it has challenged me and changed me even up to the last few days, talking to Christians that are just, they kind of see it different age, different gender, different perspective. And how Christians can work together to find a good understanding of who Jesus really is. Because we have things we know, and we have things we're blind to. And if he's who he says he is, and if Christmas is real to us, then we will endeavor to find out who this guy is, and what he demands of us, and what he wants from us. Because I am convinced that as we pay more attention to the real Jesus, we will find any number of things, but we will find these three things for sure. You will find an appreciation for a Savior who has saved us from our guilt. The question is not, do you have guilt and shame? We all have guilt and shame. The question is, what are you going to do with it? And the good news of Christmas is that God sees your guilt and shame and loves you and died to cleanse it. If we pay more attention and we try to figure out who the real Jesus is, we will find also real love. Real love. A solid basis for forgiveness and justice and for care not only of our people, but an expansion of who our people are. Jesus is born in a stable. I think that is greatly symbolic, all right? And Jesus embraces all kinds of different people. When we get to the real Jesus, do you know who will go away from our lives? The concept of those people. The concept of those people, whoever they are. The more we get around the real Jesus, the concept of those people, you know, who are the problem, they will melt into us. Ones for whom Christ died. Ones made in the image of God. Get the chance for real love, real justice, real forgiveness. And I think the more time we spend with the real Jesus and figuring out who he is in our lives, we will get a real hope and a real joy. Your life is not in vain. Your work is not in vain. Your love will last. God is with us. God is with us. And he is with you. And you matter. And he is working in you and on you and through you. Christmas is a great challenge to our desire to turn God into who we need, want, who we allow God to be. We edit him and restrict him and put him in the corner. And Christmas is coming right into the middle, coming right into the kitchen, coming right into the living room, coming right into the car with you. And the great good news of the gospel is if you will let him into your life and let him have the proper place in his life, the place that God with us deserves, you will find the forgiveness and the purpose and the hope and the love for which you are longing and for which you were made. So Merry Christmas. Let's pray together. Almighty and everlasting God, follow then, please, the preaching of your word with the blessing of your Holy Spirit. Where if because of human error in the preacher, there may have been something false or misleading in the preaching, let that error be quickly forgotten and do no harm. But where if because of your grace working alone, there may have been some truth in the preaching, let that truth be burned into our hearts and minds and souls, that your truth might lead us in the everlasting way. We pray humbly in Jesus' name. Amen. If we would have kept